Hello, wherever you're at throughout the world. Appreciate what God is doing with our ministry. I have been in contact with Harare, Zimbabwe today, and have a very definite possibility of doing a live stream meeting out of this sanctuary on Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m., November 23rd, live from here. And Steady and I communicate. He's working on it. He says, very definite possibility. So, I believe that's what will take place, and I appreciate that. Now, I thought about doing it at midnight. I knew you'd be praying that I wouldn't do that. So, daylight saving time changes back November, first Sunday of November, back to normal time. The time I grew up under, before people started messing with the clocks. Amen. So, I'm looking forward to it. It's a blessing to me that the ministry is returning to Zimbabwe in a powerful way. Amen. By the way, the location is uptown, right in the middle of town. It's where I like to operate. Amen. All right, what are we going to do? I think Bob Carpenter is sitting here just chewing at the bits to read from Galatians chapter 2. But before he starts talking, I want to tell you, remind you of what I told you last night. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. The Apostle Paul, who was an apostle, I also am an apostle, and he said to the Galatians, I marvel, verse 6, that you are so soon removed from him that called you. Removed from God. Removed from him that called you unto another gospel, which is not another gospel. That another gospel he's talking about is the law, the Ten Commandments. Now, America, U.S. of A., believes on Jesus. And as soon as they do, some wicked witchcraft spirit tells them to get in a good church that teaches the word. And as soon as they get there, they tell them that you've got to live by the Ten Commandments. And you lost your salvation. Oh yeah, you are no longer saved. You got saved at so-and-so's church and you went and joined this place. They said, all right, Ten Commandments, lost your salvation right there. Is that why America has been saved and then lost their salvation faster than anybody I've ever heard of? And yet they say, you can't backslide. We're once saved, always saved. Yeah, saved to the devil. You won't get that from a servant of God. You're not going to get that message from this guy, from this man. I know better, and I can read the Word of God. With honesty, integrity, and truth. Bob Carpenter, would you like to begin the second chapter the book of Galatians, verse 1.
Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
Okay. Notice, in verse chapter, he talked about being in Arabia, Damascus, for 3 years. There's Paul, 3 years. Then, after 14 years after that, he goes up to Jerusalem because by the will of God. I think, if I recall, he met James during that 3 year period that he spoke of in the first chapter. But now it's time to meet Peter, James, and John, those that walked with Jesus. 14 years afterwards, he went up, he took Titus, he took Barnabas with him. Barnabas was an apostle. And they go up to Jerusalem. They go up by revelation. They go up in the Spirit. In the Spirit of God. And they go there to commune with Peter, James, and John. Paul did not want to be a reprobate. He did not want to be someone that had not heard God. So he goes up and he talks to Peter, James, and John, talks to the apostles. Now, let me tell you, in 1970, God called me out of my veterinary practice. I was 37 years old. 37 years of age. A very successful veterinary practice, primarily treating equine horses in one of the most strategic locations in North Texas, 121 and just west of 70, US 75 and on 121, less than a quarter of a mile, actually probably an eighth of a mile. Prime location, property today worth more than $1 million. Amen. I established it in 1963. And God called me and ordered me to obey Him. I looked all over the U.S. in every meeting I could go to, looking for an apostle and prophet. I never met one that preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not one did I meet that preached that and determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Not one preacher in all of America, not one that preached Jesus Christ and him crucified and nothing else. If you hear somebody today preaching that, you can almost be assured that person got that from me. Amen. So, I looked for someone. There wasn't any. It was frightening. God told me he didn't have anybody but me. That's what he said. Have you ever heard me say that?
I've heard you say that.
No one but me. Those were frightening days. I'd sold a very lucrative veterinary practice, hospital, properties, sold everything I had, my farms, horses, cattle, investments. And then I find there's nobody to teach me. No man. No woman. I had to trust God. I had to believe God. After all, the bridges were burned. The water was deep behind me. There wasn't any place to go. And if you want to know, I will tell you, I was afraid. This is someone I've talked to a lot in 21 years. Bob, I was afraid. I thought, you mean I have given up everything that I owned? And what if I'm wrong? What if this is not God? You know? What if this is not God? I mean, I was afraid. I told you this. I've not told too many people very much because you can't trust them. I've learned this lady is honest. She's honest. And if you tell her something that she won't condemn you, you know that?
Amen.
That helps. You know that?
That's right.
Oh, yeah, I've met some real... I've met some real gangsters in this business. Wow! Jerk out their 45 and shoot your head off. but I didn't have any place to go. There was no place to go. Do you know that? No place. And you showed up here in 84, right?
Yeah.
And I've told you that I was afraid at times, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've told you I've been afraid in the last 4 years, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know? And where is Kathy Jane? My.
In the back.
Oh, you're back there taking shots. Be sure and get good shots of me. Amen. This is Candace.
Yes.
You've been with me what? Well, 30, oh, shut up. Quite a while. But you've been working for me a dozen years, right?
Yeah, almost 15.
Almost 15?
Yeah, next year.
My God, I'm not that old. You are. Anyway, I'm playing. But I was afraid. But there was no place to go. No place to go. And there was no one that could teach me. There was no Peter, James, and John in Jerusalem that I could go to. Nobody. One day, the Lord just, and Bob, I don't know if I've told this before, maybe, but I was really bothered. I said, Jesus, why don't you come get in the back seat of my car? You know, because, Terry, during that period, there was people were saying I was living in sin. And I said, Jesus, why don't you come get in the back seat of my car with this person that's riding with me? Get in the back seat and talk to us. And if it's not God, I want you to tell me, because I don't want to miss you. See? And I said, and if you'll come, I'll buy you the best steak in Dallas. He never did show up. Never did. I worked through that period of fear and doubt and unbelief. And one day I said, why don't you come talk to me? You talk to Paul. You talk to everybody else. You know what Jesus said to me? Anybody remember? Oh, Antoinette, did you say that?
Yes, sir.
My God. Get this woman on camera. See, I know your voice.
That's what you said.
That's exactly what he said. That's what he said to me. You believe me with that? I said, come on, Jesus. Oh, if you think I haven't been in some days of fear, you're silly. Amen. Did y'all get her?
Yes.
All right. Now, I appreciate what God's done. But there wasn't any Peter, James, and John. And there wasn't anyone in Jerusalem that knew about Jesus. So I just had to trust in the Lord. And I went through a time of great darkness from zero apartment. Oh, Lord. Not zero. Oh, Lord. Up to now. And I went through 9 years of great tribulation and pressure. And guess what? I'm still here. I heard you, Candace. I'm still here. I know you'll remember. I know you will. When a woman stood, you weren't there, but I told you, a woman stood before me and said, Lord Davidson, you are going to die. Mm-hmm. And I know, thank God for you. You're going to die, and your ministry, Water of Life ministry, is coming down, there won't be anything left. And she said, instead of Water of Life, Bob, she said, it's called Water of Lies. Amazing. You know what? I pray for that woman that she comes to repentance and won't go to hell.
Amen.
Guess what? God knew I wasn't lying. He knew I was telling the truth. He knew I was obeying him. And he strengthened me and perfected my love and my faith to where I'm at this day. Now, there isn't any Jerusalem, but I tell you what, there's a man in heaven I know.
Amen.
And I know him. His name is Jesus. And that's not boasting. He knows, I know who he is. One day, I was struggling, and he said to me, isn't it amazing that people don't think I know what I'm doing? Oh, yes, I know. Patty and Kathy don't. About 3 hours later, I heard him laughing. I said, oh, you're telling me I don't believe you know what you're doing. Now, what do you think we're going to do now, Bob? going up to Jerusalem. What's the next verse?
Verse 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat whatever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be in somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision.
That's enough. God ministered those verses of scripture to me in Argyle, 1972, 3, 4, and 5, somewhere in there. You know, I never, any preacher I met, they meant nothing to me. They meant nothing to me. That sounds arrogant. I don't care. Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, Derek Prince, Kenneth Copeland, John Osteen, who else have I met? Norval Hayes, Elton Sutton, that they meant nothing to me. And it was Jesus in me. And I don't want to forget Sir Bob Tilton. Hello, Bob. How you doing? Amen. I was not moved by one of them. Thank God. Not one. Because God is no respecter of persons, and I'm not one bit behind the chiefest apostles. Get that straight. Next.
Verse 10. Only they would that we should remember the poor.
Oh, yes, and I do. You all know that.
The same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation.
Right.
But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?
Oh, you people think that it's wrong that I confront preachers? Look at this. Paul confronted Peter, and Peter was an apostle to the Jews, and Peter walked with Jesus. Oh, I have no respect for any preacher anywhere today or ever that was ever alive during my ministry. Not one. Not one. I have no respect of the flesh. And if you are not obeying God, and God tells me to confront you and tell you where you're wrong, get ready, friend, because I will tell you. I'm not afraid of you or any woman or any man or any animal or the devil. Next, Bob.
15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, justified by faith of Jesus, not by the works of thou shalt not do this, I shall not do that. Go ahead.
Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
That it?
Verse 17.
No.
But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I have destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God.
Hallelujah.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live.
Glory.
Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That's it.
That's it?
Yep.
And God is my witness, that is me. It's what Bob read. That is me.